Okay, we'll move on to Surah Ma'un, inshaAllah. A little bit about the background, Surah Ma'un. Al-As ibn Wa'il, whom we saw in Surah Al-Kawthar, is one of the chiefs of Mecca who was hurting the Prophet ﷺ. And it was almost people like him that many of these ayat were revealed in that background. He once slaughtered two camels and he had this food ready. And they would have in their gatherings, in their walimas, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that the most evilest of walimas are those in which the people that don't want to come are invited, and the people that need to come and want to come are rejected and pushed away. And so Al-As ibn Wa'il, he slaughtered these two camels, and then an orphan had come and asked him for food, had asked him for some of this. Al-As ibn Wa'il took out a stick and he beat the boy to repulse him. Now this was mentioned, and the verses are general in the surah. And again, when we say that the verses are general, in Usul al-Fiqh, there's a principle in which it says that al-ibra bi'umum al-lafz la bi-khusus al-sabab, which means that the point or the ruling is based on the generality of the verses and not the specific case in which it was revealed. And some of these asbab al-nuzul, not all of them are authentic. Some of them would have been just mentioned in the books of tafsir.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون.
Right, in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about two types of people. Number one is the kafir that disbelieves or denies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's gifts upon him. Number two, the munafiq, who only does things for the audience that is watching him, and that he doesn't do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the first group, as we'll see, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that the kuffar and these tyrants and the ungrateful, they're not only breaking their trust with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they're being unjust to Allah azza wa jalla, but they're also being unjust to the people. That they're also being unjust to the people in that second group are ones who may claim to do things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time they're also doing it for the people and for the audience. And the surah also is using chastising words and admonishing words when speaking about them. And it's a humiliation and to show the disgrace and the shame of the path that they took. And when we say this, it's so that a Muslim would never take upon himself these characteristics. When the Prophet ﷺ, he went for Hajj, and so that everyone could hear, he said, Allahumma hajjan la riya'a fiha wa la sum'a. In which he said, ﷺ, that, O Allah, this is a Hajj with no showing off to anyone and no sum'a. Sum'a is similar to showing off, but it would be something that a person does with their voice. Meaning they'll make statements, such as doing the talbiyah very loudly, so people would say, wow, he said the talbiyah, like the labbaik Allahumma labbaik, very loudly. He must be a very righteous and pious person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the surah, أَرَأَيْتَ. Have you seen? الَّذِي, the one, يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ, who lies concerning and denies and disbelieves بِالدِّينِ, which is the recompense. The deen is the repayment. Okay, that's easier to say. You'll see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen the one who disbelieves in the repayment? And so a person may reply, what does he look like? Right? I hope I'm not that person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues, فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then describes him. فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم. That's the one who يدعو اليتيم, who pushes away and repulses the orphan sharply. Remember, in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Successful are the believers. And then I was explaining this to someone, and someone replied, look, we haven't even done the first thing, being believers, before we can move on to verse 2 and 3 and 4. But actually, verse 2 and 3 and 4 are it's the character of the believer. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. So, in a person's ignorance, they may stay away from the verses, thinking that they have to figure out how to be a believer without the Qur'an. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. So if Allah azza wa jalla in this surah says, الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ, then He tells us who it is, so that we will stay away from the characterization. فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. And if you remember in the khutbah, I mentioned this ayah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first characteristic of someone who disbelieves in the hereafter is the relationship with the needy of the society, is that they push away the orphans. And I mentioned in the khutbah how we don't see any Muslim orphanages here in this country. We see Muslims standing up and telling people about our interests. We don't want this. Please take care of us. Please don't harm us. Please don't do this. Look, we have an Eid stamp and we have this and that. But the goodness, what have we done for the people? Next to nothing. Actually, maybe, you know, more than nothing that we've done for the people. And of course, there may be little things here and there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that, but as a collective community, we haven't taken care of the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala couples this with the person who disbelieves in the hereafter. فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. This is the person who pushes away and repulses the orphan. وَلَا يَحُضُّ. And he does not encourage. We mentioned this before, that it's not that they don't give, they don't encourage anybody to give. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. And they don't encourage the feeding of the masakin, of the needy ones. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. And we mentioned in the khutbah also that these were Meccan surahs. And at this time, there were not many Muslims who had accepted Islam. There were not many Muslims at that time. And these verses are actually not specifically talking about taking care of Muslims only. It's about taking care of everyone, making it our life character to take care of the society that we're in. And I mentioned there that if someone really truly changes their da'wah mission to sincerely helping the people, the message of Islam will pass to the people in such a way. Not as a PR stunt, but as a true, sincere approach to helping the people. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the yatim, like in the orphan in verse 2, like we mentioned earlier, that it's not necessarily boys that we're talking about. But the yatim in many cases were the girls who had no one to fend for them and had no male figure to fight for their rights. And so it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who would defend those people who had no one to defend them and speak on their behalf. The word yadu'u in verse 2 is to push aggressively. With harshness, to push aggressively, يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. How would they do this to the orphans? If there was an orphan, they would, for example, if they were little girls, and there was an uncle who was in battles and so on, and they would have maybe very powerful uncles, and the brother who had died may have had, say, 100 camels. So now these camels, a good portion of it will belong to the little girls. They may have up to half those camels. So 50 camels, which is a lot of wealth. So this warrior uncle will then say, look, these little girls, what are they going to do with 50 camels? They're just little girls, they cry and do this, and I should take them. So then that uncle will come to the house, bring his friends, and take all the camels from them. And this was their infatuation with the wealth, that they would steal it from those people who deserved it, or to whom that wealth belonged. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. This is not even that he's not feeding the orphan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing, like, humiliating and shaming the person that he doesn't even encourage other people to give. And like we said about, you know, when there's needy people, a Muslim may take reservation in encouraging other people to help. And they'll say, no, I don't want to, you know, I feel shy, it's not my cup of tea to tell people that they should be giving. But this is actually a characteristic of people who disbelieve in the Day of Judgment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 4, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. فَوَيْلٌ وَيْل means destruction or calamity or punishment, and it's a curse by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah azza wa jal is in no need of cursing anyone. It's basically, whenever it comes as a curse, it's a statement of reality. A human being would curse, they would say, وَيْلٌ لَكْ, woe to you. And it would be a curse. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, it's a curse if it was coming from a human, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a statement of reality, that they are cursed. لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, to those who pray. So if someone said, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, and then they said, Allahu Akbar, and they went down in ruku', they have to continue the verse, right? Because people who pray are not cursed. If you do your salah, you're not cursed. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 5, أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Those, عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ, like about their salah, sahun. The word sahun, like sahu, it means to make a mistake. Like you say, sajda to sahu, means like the sajda of a mistake. And it's almost as if those who are mistaken in their salah, or basically that they're lazy and they're not fulfilling their duty in their salah. And this is their characterization. Sahun, what is making them be mistaken in their salah? It could be either, you know, they're watching a basketball game on, or if you're in the UK, they're watching a football game. Or they're just busy in their work, or they just have to, look, there's, you know, the class isn't over yet, and it's salah time, and so on. And they have all these things that are distracting them from the salah, and their sahun in their salah. I remember, and I'll say this about Egypt, because some people say, why do you pick on Pakistan all the time? In Egypt, right, they love their soccer, right? They love their soccer, and a lot of countries, I'm sure, you know how much they love soccer. So in Egypt, on the TV, I guess they have two or three channels, when the salah time comes, they change the programming. This is from the old days, and the adhan comes on the TV. They'll have Abdul Basit or something like that. Allahu, you know how long those adhans are, right? Abdul Basit giving the long adhan. But there was this major soccer game on TV one day, right? There was a major soccer game, and I remember being in Egypt. I would stand on the balcony, and I would hear the entire city, and I'm from Alexandria there, the entire city would erupt. It would go like, and then I walk inside, I go, did someone score? And they go, yeah, it's 1-0 Argentina. And then I go back out to the balcony, and then I'd hear, again. And then I'd walk back inside, and then they say, yeah, now it's like 2-0. You can hear the entire city lighting up. And I believe, I guess something they could see from like the space shuttle or whatever, from satellite, Egypt light up when they score the goal in the World Cup. Right? From space. All the lights and honks and lights flashing and stuff like that. They could see it from space. Like that a soccer goal will affect an entire nation like that. So now imagine in the middle, the adhan comes on TV. Right? And you know when someone gets up in front of you while you're watching TV and you're like, you know, move out of the way, I have to see this one-eyed Dajjal in front of me. So the adhan came on, and during the adhan, there was a major goal that was scored. A major, major goal, which basically decided the whole game, and the entire country missed it because of the adhan. So they had the biggest court case regarding the adhan on TV to ban the adhan from being played on the television set because we're busy with our soccer games. And it was made law. That's why now you'll see in Egypt, they'll put any soccer game, there is no cutting off for the adhan. They will let the soccer game play. And I think on other things, and you can ask people who are more familiar with it, they just have like a little sheet of paper that comes off for about 3 seconds. It's now Salah time in Alexandria. And then it goes back to, you know, the regular programming and so on. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that even if they get up, they get up lazily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ, that they do it to show off. You show off to the people. And It's very interesting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the munafiqeen and their salah, and their connection with salah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالًا. And if they get up for salah, they get up lazily. يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ. That they do it to show off to the people. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And they don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except for a little bit. And I was thinking about this ayah, I said, these are munafiqeen. And the verses actually a little bit after this say that they're in the lowest pits of hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when they pray like this. They're in the lowest pits of hellfire because of the way they pray. Now I want you to imagine someone who doesn't pray. This is a munafiq who's in the lowest pits of hellfire because he prays in a lazily way. What about the person who does not pray at all? That it's even gone beyond nifaq. That they will not even pray a sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remember being at a home, there were some people there, you know, salah time. One of the brothers sat back, the uncles sat back, and he did not pray. Meaning that we stood there, and after the salah, I turned around and I could see the darkness on his face. And I could not in my heart think that he could claim to be Muslim. And salah time would come, and he would not stand up and pray with the believers. It's a very, very serious thing. The Prophet ﷺ said that the connection between us and them is the salah. And so whoever cuts it off, basically as if someone's holding on to a rope over the side of a cliff, if they cut that rope, they've fallen. فَقَدْ كَفَى. They've fallen into disbelief. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is speaking about the salah of the munafiq. He says that if he prays, he doesn't hope for any reward. If he prays, he doesn't hope for any reward. And if he doesn't pray, he fears no punishment. تِلْكَ صَلَاةُ الْمُنَافِقِ. He said, this is the salah of the munafiq. If he prays, he seeks no reward. If he doesn't pray, he has no fear of punishment. And that's the scary thing also, when someone misses Fajr, and then they wake up, they go, oh, I missed another day of Fajr. It's a very serious thing to not fear punishment for that. To not fear punishment. And when the companions, when they slept in for Fajr, they were waiting for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come down upon them. They were waiting for the earthquake to take them because of what had happened that morning when they had slept in for Fajr. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَهُونَ. If someone makes a mistake in salah, they do such to sahu. But these people, their sahu comes from them making the mistake on purpose. They do it with knowledge, but they are mistaken in their salah, but they're doing it on purpose, and that's why they were condemned for it. We also learned there that a Muslim may be doing mistakes, right? And they may be doing incorrect things, but then they have the opportunity to learn about Islam. Right, there's an Al-Maghrib program coming to their locality, teaching them how to do salah and about tafsir and so on. And then they say, look, I'm just too busy for this. And so they may continue in their life with the sahw, with the mistake, but they may actually be taken to account for that. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. He said, to seek knowledge is fard on every Muslim. It's compulsory for a Muslim to seek out where can they learn about the deen and learn their deen. And if they live their life in ignorance, it's not that, oh, I'm ignorant and in the end I'll go to paradise because I just never knew anything. They're given the opportunity to learn. And then if they make those mistakes, then they're sahun of the kind that we see here. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَهُونَ. This is just general, not to any specific people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the intentions. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he also mentioned that these are people that pray in public, but they would not pray in private. Meaning that if they were to go and there was Muslims around them and that they're in some person's house or something, they'll pray with those people. But if at that same time they were at their own home alone, they would not have gotten up to pray, that this is the salah of the munafiq. And in some Muslim countries, you'll see that, you know, the president or something, the whole country's watching, so they go for Eid Salah, or something like that, and they have him sitting there and listening to the khutbah and smiling at the camera and stuff like that. And I think you may have, you know, during the Gulf War, they brought Saddam Hussein on the TV, and he's doing like sajda and whatever. Oh, he's praying, everybody sees him praying. And they actually have a picture of Hosni Mubarak where he's in Salah and he's looking at the camera. You know, everybody else has their eyes down. It's a very popular picture. And he's staring at the camera like this. And there's a point about, you know, the eyes leaving the sajda area, which is actually something I'm going to explain to you later. But how do you know that he's not concentrating in Salah? Because he's looking at the camera. As soon as someone's eyes come off their sajda area, how do you know that they're not concentrating in Salah? I'll explain it later, inshallah. So this wail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 4 says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, says, woe to the people who pray. Now, if someone is either lazy in salah, or they don't do their salah, or if someone is, you know, they do their salah, but they're kind of lazy, in regard or in proportion to that laziness or leaving the salah, they take a share of the curse. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. So if some person has part of this laziness in their salah, they also have a part of the curse. And it's something that a person has to be take very seriously and protect themselves from. And if they have all of it, meaning that they never pray, then they have the entire curse upon them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then describes them also that this is with them, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now with the people, وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ, and they forbid the small kindnesses, prevent the small kindnesses. Al-ma'an is something very small. And they're small things that could benefit others. When I was thinking about an example for this, like you may have like a glass of water, but from teaching at Al-Huda school, I know from the little kids, if you teach grade 1, grade 2, you'll see the children asking each other for crayons. Right, someone has a box of 3,000 crayons, right? Every shade of any color that they could possibly have. And then someone says, can I borrow an orange? Right, and he's got 300 different types of oranges. He says, no, you can't have an orange. Right, and it's like, it's just a crayon, just give him the crayon. They're like, no. And the reason they don't give the crayons is because they don't get them back, right? But that is al-ma'an. It's a small kindness. He will harm him in no way to give him the crayon, but still he holds back. And as adults, of course, they're under the age of takleef. They won't be taken into account for that. But this is a little example of people denying small kindnesses to the people. Things that will bring no harm, such as giving someone some sugar or giving them a little salt or a glass of water. And this is a very, very stern warning against stinginess and greed. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ, because Allah uses it as a description of the munafiq. And it's hated and despised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that someone would make stinginess a part of their characteristic. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam.